All right, we're speaking on training for reigning. And this particular segment that we're in right now is called Taking Ownership. Taking Ownership. This teaching is really designed to give us somewhat of a idea of where we're located in terms of God's plan for our lives, exactly where we stand. And I know as I've been studying it and I've been seeing some things here, we're trying to pull people out of religion and put them into the kingdom. And because I think that's what religion does. It'll try to hold you. It's like a net. And it'll give you a sense of security, but it's false security. There's nothing really there. And then what it does, it always breaks down resistance. It kind of destroys the immune system and makes it so people are susceptible to things that they're normally not susceptible to. But the other thing you realize, the way that you realize it's there is there's no fruit. Jesus cursed that tree because there was no fruit on it. In other words, you can sit up under this and just sit here and just every Sunday, but there's no fruit in it. There's nothing that came out of it that's manifesting in people's lives. I just use this, and I'm not going to use this for any personal reason, but I notice Donald Lawrence. I think you know him. No, you heard that name before. But. And how he would come and first just set up in the balconies up there and just listen to the teaching of the blessing of Abraham. Next thing you know, he wrote a whole CD on it, and it's sold all over the world. Then he came and sat a little bit closer and heard the law of confession. Now, he's been sneaking in here now, and I'm not sure what he's about to do now. But notice, the word is designed to be made flesh. See, it's supposed to produce something in your life. That produced a great amount of income for Donald. Because that's what this word's supposed to do. Never supposed to be that you hear this and not do it. That it doesn't bring forth fruit in your life. The word is a seed. He picked that one piece out and wrote music to it because that was his gifting. What is your gifting? Are you following what I'm saying? So, with that being said, I want to talk about taking ownership again. Let's start back to the scripture here where we see in verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth his things which be not as though they were. Now we're reflecting all the way back on the garden now, and here's Adam in the garden. And God created Adam and Eve. He made them after his own image and after his likeness. We're not talking about your body. We're talking about your spirit, the real you. And so as he did that, Adam came out of God, meaning that he wasn't spoken by God, but he came very out of God. So he was the actual extension of God himself. So Adam was God, small g, over the earth system. And he had dominion, had been given dominion over all the earth. The mission that he had was to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish this earth and subdue it. So he was going to come in this earth and recover the form of fullness of this earth. So God placed him in a place called the garden, which was a a prototype or blueprint, or it was the beginning of this garden being spread throughout the earth. And he was to act like his father, meaning that he had the same nature as his father God. And God now had put in something called potential inside of him. And now God's going to place a demand on the potential. What he did is he asked him to name the animals. And so Adam named the animals without ever going to a university or anything, because now he was hooked up with his source. He was hooked up with God, and he and God were not two, they were one. So then God said, don't eat of this tree. The tree is in the garden, the middle of the Garden of Eden, Don't eat of it. The day you eat of that tree, tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And die with God was not what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about your flesh dying, your heart stop beating, all this. He was talking about your spirit will be separated from him. And that Adam would be separated from God. And now Adam would be left on his own to fend for himself, to survive. And so as he did that, Adam ate of the tree, Adam and Eve. And as a result of that, the curse entered in. And now Adam was separated from the Father, but connected to Satan. And Satan became the god of this world because Adam gave it over to him. So now he was cut off from his source. He died. Adam was not intended to die. That was not God's plan for mankind to die. So some people think death is a friend. Death is an enemy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and if it's an enemy of God, it's an enemy of yours. So Jesus now is come. And this is a few thousand years later. Now, what does he come to do? Recover that which was lost. Come to seek and to save that which was lost. What does he come to do? He came to destroy the works of the devil. Everything that the devil had done as a result of Adam's sin, Jesus came to reverse it. And he could make it so just, he could have it so that there was no trace that the devil has ever been in your life. And also, he was coming to place the earth back into the hands of its rightful ownership, which was Adam. Somebody said, oh, Adam wasn't own anything. He was just a weed puller. Well, I'll tell you like Jesse Duplantis said, and I really like this. He said, if Adam didn't own the earth, then he had no seed to sow. Because you can't sow what belongs to somebody else. You got to sow what's yours. So, but not only Adam owned the earth, but ownership was there, but lordship was there, stewardship was there, and he had what we call, well, the stewardship, what we call stewardship, meaning that you have a responsibility in this earth. So now all of this is a type of what Jesus came to represent to mankind. And if you go over here to, let's go over to Mark's gospel and Mark chapter 1, please. Well, I tell you what, let's don't go to Mark chapter 1. Let's just go to Mark. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Nope, Matthew chapter 3. Let's try that. Amen. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. All right, in Matthew chapter 3, it says in those days that John, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now notice what he asked him to do, to ask him to repent. Now that repent has to do with us returning back to an original state. It means to redo or to do again. To anything means to redo. And here is he's going to now take mankind back to his original state. Man had fallen, now he's going to take him up to the top. Pent, you know, penthouse, up to the top. And so now, John is preaching this. Now remember what he said in Luke chapter, Jesus teaches in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. He said, the kingdom of God cometh not with what? Observation. See, it doesn't come by observation, it comes by revelation. So John got this. He got a revelation of the kingdom and he began to preach it. Now, Jesus came and John was a forerunner of Jesus. John was setting the stage. He was a transition ministry for Jesus. And now Jesus is come, and now he pointed him out. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Got it? So he recognized Jesus by the power and the perception of the Holy Ghost that was giving him, empowering him. And now here's Jesus. And look, Jesus comes now and starts his ministry. And this is Matthew now, chapter 4, if you will. Turn over there. And verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is where? At hand. Come on down to verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Now notice what he was doing. He was destroying the works of the devil. He was reversing it all. Verse 24, and his fame went out throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken in diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy. And what did he do with them? He healed them. He healed all of them. Everybody got healed. So it was not anything that Jesus couldn't heal. Anything that the power of the kingdom couldn't set right. I don't care what it is. It could be some kind of perverted lifestyle. Didn't make any difference. Set it right. So everything that was out of order with heaven's order, we call chaos. And Jesus came to bring order out of chaos. And the enemy had this thing and he had it going because he was the God of this world and he had it chaotic. One of the first things you see when the devil comes in somebody's life, it gets chaotic. All right, so now notice Jesus preached this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, please. I'm talking about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 10, this is when Jesus, let's start reading at verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, 12 of the number of government, he gave them power, authority, against unclean spirits to cast them out, and he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of what? Heaven is where? At hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received. Now what are you going to do? Now you freely give. Now notice what he's doing now is he's teaching them the kingdom. Now I haven't changed my message yet. He's preaching. John the Baptist preached it. Here's Jesus preaching it. Now he's telling his disciples to preach it. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, if you go on down to Matthew 16, now you'll see where he asked them, who do they say that I am? Then he said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elias or one of the prophets. Now they're guessing. And in the kingdom, there is no guess. Oh, that didn't go down well. Guessing came with a curse. You don't have to guess in the kingdom. You know what to do because the Holy Spirit tells you exactly what to do. Is this all right? Okay. All right, so he said, who do you say that I am? Now, what is he doing? He's placing a demand on them. And Peter gives them the answer. Now remember what I said, Adam and God were not two. They were one. So basically, Adam's limit was God. Does this make sense to you? Mankind was made virtually unlimited. Now he connects the church back up to this reality. Now this is kind of a forerunner here, because now Adam is downloading. Peter is downloading. He's downloading an answer that he didn't get out of school or in school. He got it directly from God, the same way Adam got how to name the animals. Are you with me? So now he says to him, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18, and I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the average person now, if you mention church, they're thinking of four walls somewhere. They're thinking people coming in there, nice music playing, people saying, this is the day the Lord has made. But that's not what they thought about, because they weren't thinking that way. That thinking is to think that they were thinking ecclesia, government. They were thinking a political government, a governing body that makes the laws and enforces laws of the land. That's what they're thinking. See? And when Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, how are you doing this? Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, if you look in the Greek, it says born from above. So when you're born again, that's not some religious exercise. When you're born again, that's you coming into the family of God. And you then gain instant citizenship. Now, notice what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a government now. I haven't talked about religion yet. Got it? No. I'm only saying this because this kingdom must be preached. Come on over to Matthew 24, please. Matthew 24. And let me know when you get to Matthew 24. All right, look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end is going to come. He didn't say the end is going to come because of nuclear war. He said the end's going to come when this gospel is preached. Now let's keep going. Let's go over to Acts, please. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Now the only reason I'm covering this is because we've had a lot of stuff preached. But how about the kingdom? And people have been so bound by religion until if you weren't up there sweating and jerking and bucking and snot running everywhere, they didn't want to hear it. And this whole kingdom message is a message on a whole nother level. And this has got to be preached. So let's look at this. Look what he says here in verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own house and received all that came unto him, preaching the what? Kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, and no man forbidding him. They couldn't even stop it. Nobody could stop it. Now this kingdom brings forth an identity. An identity is needed because your inheritance will come proportional to your identity. And this kingdom teaching teaches you that Jesus is the king, but he's the King of Kings. And once you learn you are a king, then the Holy Spirit can help tutor you into deportment or your own actions as a king. And the first thing you'll see is you're supposed to decree things. The next thing you'll see is a king has a jurisdiction. And nothing can happen in that jurisdiction unless the king allows it. because he's the top person in that jurisdiction. Say amen to this. Amen. Now, I know in yourself you're saying, whoa, now wait a minute, all that, Pastor? Yes, all of that. Don't think about money, because he's made you richer than you can imagine with your own natural imagination already. When you came into it, you inherited the world. Now, you just can't hear one message on that and you, well, praise God. Hey, this took meditation. I got to get in here and meditate this. Because the first thing he's giving you is something that's too big for your head. Your head, it's tough to get your mind around something like this. That all you got to do is speak to a mountain, speak to a storm, come on, speak to the demons. This is your time now. This is the time for the church, the most powerful institution in the world ever. Nothing should exist in this earth without your permission. I can either bind it or loose it. Say amen to this. Now, we got to believe this, because the devil knows what you don't believe. And he's going to act like this earth is still his, because he's a bully. Are you with me? Can I go a little bit further here now? So now, when we say that the devil has been a bully, let me just amplify on that for just a minute here. Glory to God. The enemy has dared the church to rise up against unjust legislation. Come on now. He has tried to do some things and dared the church to say anything about same-sex marriage. Come on now. Because sometimes what has happened is the world got their hand in the church's pocket. Don't turn me off now. Let me finish what I got to say. I'm just saying, if the system throws them out a little piece of land and give them that land for a dollar and so forth, well, you know, the system gonna come back and say, now you owe me. Eating at Jezebel's table. You better hear what I'm saying now. See, this, we got to get strong. And the way you're going to get strong is you're going to have to hear a strong word. Some weak, Kool-Aid, watered-down sermon is not going to make you strong. You're going to have to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, part of our job is to replenish. Everything that's out of order got to come back in order. Why? Because it's like when I was over in India and I was in the hotel and I was trying to get a signal on my cell phone. Then I went to my computer trying to get a satellite. All that stuff was just, I said, what's wrong here? We called out there. They said, well, the president of the United States is coming. And now George Bush at that time. I said, he's coming. I said, yeah, they got a big truck out there. Look out there, big truck, big van-like truck. And this thing was cleaning up the atmosphere. It was cleaning up all the waves. It was cleaning up every terrorist wave. It was blocking those radio waves and signals and everything. It was blocking, jamming everything up. Why? Because the president was coming. They were cleaning up. Well, you cleaning up too, because the king is coming. The king, he is on his way. And he sent you as a forerunner. And everything that's messed up gonna be cleaned up. Everything that, come on now, we gonna sweep it up. And he chose you to do that. You didn't choose him. Well, when I found the Lord, he wasn't lost. You were lost. And he found you. And when he found you, he knew how many hubcaps and how much reefer you had smoked. But he chose you anyway. And he chose you and brought you in a church like this to train you to reign in this earth, to make things ready for his return. Say amen to that. He knows everything you've done that you didn't even tell anybody about, and he chose you anyway. Come on now. So what you have to do is forgetting those things that are behind and reach for, oh Lord, have mercy. Is somebody here? Now, what am I saying? Boy, it's a lot here. Can I give you all some of this? All right. Now, so, we're seeing here that the enemy has what I call dared the church. And some of the sermons, you know, have, again, you know, it hadn't been the right diet. And the kind of word that we've been getting has been a reflection on our ability to dominate. We haven't seen that dominate. We're still church versus state. And if it wasn't for the church, there'd be no state. You're capable of operating so high above the state till it's pathetic. Say amen. See, spiritual things have not only more power, but spiritual things are more real than the natural things. That's why the enemy is after the pulpit. Because the pulpit is the one that God uses to download and to be able to speak to his people. The Bible says God will do nothing except he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. The prophets, and to servants, the prophets. He's going to reveal it to the prophets first, not to you first, to the prophets. And the prophet's job is to prophesy, is to speak it, is to preach it, is to teach it. Now, you don't teach the prophet teach you. Because he's going to give it to the prophet first. Say amen to that. And so now, who is Jezebel after? Jezebel, it didn't say anything about Jezebel, he slew the businessmen. It didn't say anything about Jezebel slew the educators. It didn't say about Jezebel slew the Hollywood stars. She ain't after them. The Jezebel spirit is after the prophet. Because the prophet is the oracle of God. The prophet is the one that once he speaks it, it's released. And once it's released, there's a prophetic timetable that's got to operate. He becomes a prophetic driver for the future. Fight different battles, you need different drivers. You need a different driver for Abraham than David or whatever have you. And that's what he uses them for. When he says, get before God, God gives him something, and that driver becomes a strategy that you can use to pull down any stronghold that may be not only in your life, but over your community, over your city, over the whole nation. Say amen to that. God doesn't need a whole bunch. He can take 300 folks that are sold out. Man, you got to hear what I'm saying. I'm getting ahead of myself now. You're supposed to have the church so when somebody come in here, they do not leave like they came. They will come in here with some sickness, some disease, and the Bible says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save or heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if there have been any sins, they will be wiped away. And I'm telling you, that's not only for sickness, but that's for if somebody come in there switching, then you can pray for them and they'll walk out like a man. You better hear what I'm telling you. See, we gotta stop backing down and being bullied by the world. The world cannot tell you who you are. The world cannot tell you what you have. The world cannot tell you where to go and cannot tell you how to get there. You are the ones in the driver's seat. Now drive. tired of this mess. Soon as somebody gets raised up and start doing pretty good, the world comes after them. The newspapers come after them. Come on now. And the next thing you know, they done cow-cowed and not even flying first class anymore. They done got back there in economy by the lavatory. And I'm telling you right now, we got to stop that, folks. I'm just telling you, I know some people talking about me. Well, that old preacher got his own airplane so far. He don't need no airplane and so forth. You can't tell me what I don't need. You can't tell me what I have inherited the world. Not just that airplane. I'm tired of this mess. I listen, and I ain't gonna talk to them no more, because me and the newspapers speak in two different languages. We ain't communicating. I'm speaking Hebrew. Boy, boy, boy. Now the forces have been sitting on your destinies. And that's what I'm saying. Now this, today, is a day of the vengeance of our God. It's a time for vengeance and recompense. Today is the year of the favor of the God. That the favor is going to be on God's people. Say amen to that. And there have been demonic forces that have been sitting on our destinies, trying to keep down our businesses that have never been started, our schools that have never been built, our marriages that have never been consummated, our ministries that have never grown. The enemy has been doing this. And the enemy has programmed people, even in God's house, that they have no power unless he gives it to them. I'm going to tell you something. The devil from now on, it's not going to have to give you nothing. You're going to take everything you need and everything you want. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that because the church hadn't been taught right and understood vengeance and recompense, they have been victims. But it's a place that you cannot get without these teachings. You must have them. And what has happened in the vengeance thing, the reason why people hadn't taught it is because they haven't understood it. And because they haven't understood it, they think it's some kind of retaliation or something like that. Well, that is not vengeance. That's not the way vengeance works. Vengeance has nothing to do with getting mad about something or emotional retaliation. It has to do with the love of justice. It has, amen. And so God loves justice. And anything that somebody been treated wrong, then God wants to come in and execute vengeance on their behalf. And then because they've been victims, he is saying, okay, I want to pay back everything that is owed to them, but not only just pay it back, I want it to come in with interest. And so what we're going to have to do is realize that our stuff is coming back. That everything that's been stolen from you, this is going to be the year of your jubilee. This is going to be the year of the favor of God for his people. Now, here's what people have been going wrong. They've been taking the wrong person to court. I want you to see. I want you to see a couple of things. Turn back to Matthew again and chapter 16, please. Matthew chapter 16, you got to hurry because I'm going to finish this and I got 5 minutes and 42 seconds to do it. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 16. Have you got it there? Look at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this not shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto... And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. Get thee behind me. Get thee behind me. Notice he didn't even say a thing to Peter. Let's don't stop there. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, please. Luke chapter 23. I'm going to show you why you ain't got yourself back yet. You still blaming people. Come on, we're going to take the devil to court. We taking the devil to court. And look what it says in Luke chapter 23. Let me know when you get there. Look at verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. You see, Jesus didn't focus in on them because it wasn't them. Come on now. It's not them that stole your money. It's not them. You got to hear what I'm saying. Because the enemy wants to pit the church against people. But when you do that, you're getting out of order with the kingdom. Look at Psalm 82. I know you're looking at me like a calf with a new gate, but that's all right. I'm going to preach this anyway. I'm going to preach it, so you may as well just put your stones down, because you ain't going to stone nobody today. You're going to find out that you're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Let's go to Psalm chapter 82. Let me know when you get there with your smart self. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty and judgeth among the gods. Well, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know what? Not. Neither will they what? Understand. Why? Because they what? Walk on in what? Walk on in darkness. Even the folks that's got a lot of money that's operating in wickedness, they think they're under their control, but that's not what it says. Over in 1 John chapter 5, it says the whole world is under the control of the evil one. He's controlling them, and they don't even know they're under control. They think they're doing right, but they're playing right into Satan's hands. But the church is coming on board, and Satan wants you to get mad at people so that you'll violate the kingdom rules, but you're not going to get mad at people anymore. You know people didn't steal that money from you. Come on. People didn't cause you to go through that. Come on. People didn't so and so. It was the devil himself. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Well, I got news for you. Here's what happened with Adam and Eve. They ate of the tree. God shows up. Adam, where are you? Notice what he is asking. He knew where he was. He wasn't talking about his location. He was talking about his position. Adam had lost his headship over this earth and had fallen down. And then he said, Adam, what happened here? What caused you to do that? He said, the woman, come on now, come on, help me, man. The woman, the woman you gave me, she caused me to eat it. Notice what he's doing. He's still blaming people, but God ain't moving on that. And then he said, well, Eve, now how did you do that? She said, the devil, Satan did that. The snake, he came. And God says, okay, for that, I'm going to pronounce the curse. I'm telling you, God ain't going to move till you accuse the right person. And if you're accusing people, folks, we done had every bad thing that happened in this history of mankind, but you can't look at people. You got to accuse the one who did it, who was behind it, who was throwing the rock and hiding his hand, and you got to bring him to court, and you got to point him out to God, and you got to decree, and by faith, you receive everything that he stole from you, from your mama, from your granddaddy, everything, receive it into your life. Now that takes your eyes off people. That's not your problem. I know it happened, but that's not your problem. You had to get your stuff back from Satan. Because unless you bind the strong man, you're not going to spoil his house.
Amen. Amen.
This makes sense to you? I refuse to be bullied anymore. No more bullying. Say amen to that. So what am I saying? We're going in now. But we got to make sure that we got some capacity. Because you might look good on the outside. But when the enemy comes against you, are you going to run with me? Or are you going to run home? Now hear what I'm saying now. Because what happened and something triggered is I had a man named Bishop T.D. Jakes come here and speak recently. And I want to tell you that it was one of the finest sermons. Watch this. I've heard some messages. It was one of the finest sermons I ever heard in my life. And when I heard that sermon, I looked up and looked around and looked at the people who were present. And almost half this place was empty. Now understand this man, not trying to lift up a man, but understand this, what God sent us. This man has been on Dr. Phil. Now, I ain't trying to tie Dr. Phil. He's been on Larry King. Now, these folk want to know what he's got. He's been on MSNBC. Larry King himself said, now you know you're a rich man. Bishop didn't deny it. That was a good thing. He's doing things out of the box. It's television. Movies. He's a best-selling author many times over. People are buying his books all over the world. He's had some of the biggest crusades and so forth that we've seen in this country and in the world lately. He's a businessman, par excellence. He's been called by the president. He's advisor to hundreds of pastors. I'm not trying to build up the man now. I'm just letting you know what was sent here. And as this man came, I was trying to figure out, where in the world is everybody? Well, I got mad at y'all at first until I went back to the scripture. And I figured it out. The capacity is not there. You see, there's three D's here that I put down. Donation, democracy, and denomination. And what we have to do is come out of every one of them. When I came into the kingdom, I was donation minded. I'm going to give the church a donation. Church, I want your donation. Donation says, I need a tax receipt. Much of the giving God tells me to do, don't have no receipt. It goes from one person's hand to the other. Why? Because I know I can get the hundredfold off of it. Come on now. So people have imported a labor-based system into the church. And we got to get rid of that. And another one is denominational minded. And this is all kinds of special brands of religion. I'm a Baptist, you're a Methodist, you're a Church of God in Christ, you're a Pentecostal, you're Pentecostal Holiness, you're Apostolic, you Christian Alliance, you this and you that. And everything got a twist on it. What to wear, what to say, how to kneel, how to talk, how to sing, how you baptize. And the thing about it is the Bible says very clearly what to do. If you go in the New Testament, anybody that got saved got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I said, with the speaking in other tongues that the Spirit gave utterance. And all of a sudden, somebody gonna say, well, that's not for today. That passed out. Now, how did they get that? Because they reading the same Bible I'm reading. And what they're doing is genetically altering the Bible. And so when they do that, they get the power out of it. Now the house is divided, and now we can't stand. Folks, you can't do that. Suppose I go down there and I'm riding and going down the highway there and traffic light comes and it's red. And I come up to the traffic light and say, now that can be interpreted many ways. That man, it's red, man. Stop. How about democracy minded? I call it relativism. I call it politically correct. That is, it's a theory holding that criteria of judgment is relative, varying on individuals or situations. Some people call it situational ethics. In other words, whatever you think is right is right. Well, I think I ought to slap you. Do you think that's right? Now, I'm just putting this in there because, see, this is what they're doing to this, see. They're applying democracy to it. They're applying democracy to it. In other words, this church is not a democracy. It is a theocracy. And it's that way because it's got one God and he speaks one command. Now, when he speaks that command, it is not a suggestion. It is a command. And what we do is we, many times, because we come from democracy, we try to add our twist to it. Well, did he really say that? I mean, did he really mean that? So far, he meant what he said. As a matter of fact, he said in Romans 3, let God be true and every man be a liar. Are you following what I'm saying? Folks, I was in the military, and in the military, I flew airplanes. So I would launch out. I had a mission, and I'd go up. Let's go during the time of Vietnam, and I'd go up to war. Okay, I'm going up to war. Now, they'd give me an intelligence briefing before I go. And they'd tell me, here's the targets we want. Here's a train carrying all this stuff and carrying a lot of supplies and bombs and so forth and so on. Take that train out. Take that thing out. Don't let it get down that Ho Chi Minh Trail, so forth and so on. Okay, boom, take off, so forth and so on. Now, the colonel didn't go with me. He just gave me orders. He didn't go with me. He didn't go and ride in the airplane sneaking behind me checking to see if I was going to do that. Because if you did that, the military couldn't function. And it functions off of a command. And this functions off a command. Now, let me tell you the problem with this. The problem with it, it's when we introduce the democracy into the church, now you got to vote. In your mind, you think you got something to say about it. But in the church, you got nothing to say about it. Now, wait a minute. Because you think you got something to say about it, that the measure that you meet with that word, it'll be measured back to you. In other words, now when it's time to stand on it for healing, now, it's relative. It may work, and it may not. When it's time to stand on it for your money, give and it shall be given unto you. Well, that may work,
right,
and it may not. You see what I'm saying? It weakens your faith. But if you come back to being kingdom-minded, then you know you're under orders. And the commander in chief said, if you do give, it'll be given back to you. Keep going, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And then he says, before all that won't happen, the whole earth will blow up. You follow what I'm saying? Now, what am I doing? I'm pulling the slack out of your rope. Why? Because I got to get you structured, got to get you built up inside. Because I see now that when you call folk to do something and something comes against them, let's say a little something over here, mama need to go to the beauty shop or so forth and so on. All of a sudden they're distracted and they do that. And I'm depending on them to be at a certain formation. I'm depending on them to be at a certain place. I'm just telling you, it's the same thing that Gideon went through. Gideon, he said, Gideon, I'm going to use you to set Israel free. He said, now go out there and get some men. Gideon went and got 33,000. God said, you got too many for me. He said, I'm putting it in my own words, go back and tell them where you're going and they're going to want to go home to their mama. And Gideon went and told them, and all of them went away except 10,000. He said, Gideon, you still got too many. You see what I'm saying? He is saying that Gideon, when you get in the battle, there are some that's still here, they're going to run on you. They are going to run on you. When it's time for them to get up and pray for you, they ain't going to pray for you. Gideon, they're going to leave you out there in that battle hanging by yourself, Gideon. You still got too many. They are saying something, but they don't mean it. Turn to Matthew, last scripture, Matthew chapter 15. Oh, I'm hitting you where it hurts because I'm putting the slack out of your rope. I'm making it so what you say is what you mean, and what you mean is what you say. And when you speak things, I mean angels gonna move on it because you gonna believe you receive when you spoke it. I'm gonna make you stronger than you ever been in your life. When that thing happened to me, I saw it all. Now that thing tried to frustrate me and I almost got mad at y'all. But I said, okay, the devil is behind this. They don't have enough strength to stand. They keep getting distracted. They keep saying, oh, I'm tired. I don't feel tired. What that's got to do with it? When the man blows a horn, you got to show up. You got to be in line and a good attitude about it. Say amen to this. And this is where we got to take you, because this is the only piece that's missing. You've got enough word. You've heard enough sermons. Say amen to that. You've got a good environment. You've got all the accoutrements that will remind you of the bigness and the power of God. Now all you need is some inside. You need to gather up your loins and say, wait a minute. What God said, I'm going to stand on it. And I'm going to commit to him. I don't care what my neighbors think. I don't care what my friends say. I'm going to walk with God. Let me just show you this, and we'll be done. Say amen to this. The devil is a liar because Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one who's in it. Look what it says in Matthew 15. Let me know when you get there. Are you there? Look at verse 8. This people draweth nigh to me with their what? Mouth. And honoreth me with their what? Lips. But keep going. But their heart is far from me. And I'm telling you right now, we're going to make it so you are completely committed to God. We're going to make it so that what you say is what you're going to do. And I'm telling you, the first thing we got to do is train you. We're going to train you in this and train you how to fight and train you how to do things that God had trained the people to do. Look at what Abraham did. He had 318 servants in his own house, and he went out and destroyed, I mean whipped, 5 kings and their whole nations. He whipped them. He slaughtered them. I'm talking about 318 trained servants. I'm talking about we're training for reigning. Let me show you one more. Can I just show you this? Turn to 2 Samuel, please. 2 Samuel, Lord have mercy. Woo-hoo, I know I'm out of time. 2 Samuel. Woo. Man, I feel like I've been preaching for 2 days. 2 Samuel, and look, what did I say? Chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Ooh, Lord Jesus. This is a man named David. Lord, have mercy. What did I say? 2 Samuel chapter 23. Yeah, here it is. You ready? In 2 Samuel chapter 23, look what happened in verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men who David had. The Techmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Idino, the Eznite. He lifted up his spear against how many men? 800. Keep going. And slew him. Come on. at one time. Let me take you one more place. 1 Samuel, please, and chapter 18. 1 Samuel and chapter 18. I know you got the stuff. If you didn't have the stuff, God wouldn't have you in here. I said 1 Samuel 18. Make it 1 Samuel 22, please. 1 Samuel chapter 22. I'm training you for reigning. Praise God. Say amen to that. You are a soldier. You've been called by the Lord. You have the capacity for this thing. The potential is inside of you. Now we're about to make it pay off. Look what it says in verse 1. David there departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was what? Distress, and everyone that was what? In debt, and everyone that was what? Discontented, gathered themselves to him, and he became a what? Captain over them, and there were with him about how many men? 400 men. That's all we need. I'm telling you, you see, I might be in a tight place somewhere, but I want you to be in a place where you can pray and you can hear God, and God will say, hey, lift him up, because he needs some prayer right now. He needs some victory. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you, one can put 1,000 to flight. Come on. Two can put 10,000 to flight. How about three can put? I'm saying we got enough folks here to take Chicago. We got enough people here to save an entire nation. We can do it, saints of God. We're going to build you up on the inside. When the formation is called, you ain't going to play sleep. You ain't going to go do something else. You're going to put the kingdom as a priority and be in formation. We're going to win every battle. And if you got a battle in your house, we want to zero in on that battle and take Satan out of your life. If you got kids that's running crazy, we want to zero in on your house and get them kids saved. If you got a situation at your job, we can make it so that you own the company. If you got, I'm telling you, these things can happen if the people of God come together with a commitment to love God and keep his commandments. Give the Lord a praise. I ain't got no more praise. Now listen, everybody didn't like what I spoke today, but I don't care. See, that's what I've been doing. I've been trying to come down to people who don't like me anyway. See, and I know it's not you, it's the devil that don't like me. You just got to be willing to let him go on out and sit in the car. And so you can do what God's called you to do. But I got to make you strong now. I got to make it so that you have a discernment. You can even see when somebody's tricking you, and you can say amen to that. I got to make it so that when you go out with somebody at night or go out to dinner and so forth, that you'll be out there and they won't talk you into pulling your pants off. And you say that. Come on now. I got to make it. Come on. Stay with me now. I got to make it. Come on. Say amen to this. The devil is a liar. Jesus is the Messiah. You didn't choose him. He chose you. You need some strong teaching. And you get strong teaching, you will be strong. You get that watered down, weak Kool-Aid teaching, and you'll be, man, pay the loud. Hey, that's enough of that. We're about to go out and take our inheritance. We're taking ownership over the earth. Praise God. All right, praise God. Sit down. Let me get this. My Lord, my Lord. I can feel it in the spirit, boy. I can feel it in the spirit. Something's breaking in the spirit. Something's coming in the room. Something's coming on some people right now. Satan has held your money back, held back your destiny. I'm telling you, thou art loose. This is your time now. Sit down. If you're here, you need to be saved. Jesus died for your sins, and you better get in on this. I'm saying you right now.